we saw in the Sadhu movie recently that yogis tend to call on one of two gods to help them, either Shiva or Rama. And there are other gods that are called on ritually at the beginning of enterprises or new projects like Ganesha, or to help in one's expression of higher truth or of the arts, one calls on Saraswati. We just heard, actually, chants, very authentic chants by an Indian pundit. One of them was to Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, another was to Saraswati, another was to Ganesha. So these were very authentic, as you would hear them in, at least in central India, in Goa, and that part of India, the Marathi zone. But what's the difference between the Shiva and the Rama mythologies, and how do they play out? I wish that I had already given you the Ramayana to read in the book group, but we haven't gotten to it because there's so many books to read in so little time. But we will get to it because it's a very important epic. And it's the story of Rama, although he's named after him, Rama, the crown prince of a kingdom, and the mother of one of the other princes who didn't deserve the kingdom through envy and manipulation ended up getting the throne usurped by someone who shouldn't have been there. And he was sent into exile with his wife Sita. That's why you often hear Jai Sitaram as a chant you may be familiar with. And his loyal brother Lakshman. Now the interesting thing about it is that the devil, whose name is Ravana, takes the opportunity to do his best to steal Rama's wife. And Sita is often considered to represent the soul. And so it's a battle that then ensues between Rama and Ravana. By the way, they are memorialized in the two cities of Rome and Ravenna in Italy, which were originally Hindu cities. Many of you may not know that. But if you tell the Roman Catholics that they're really Rama Catholics, they would probably not be very happy to hear that. But this mythology did go globally, including the Rama Indians in Nicaragua are connected to them. But the story is that Ravana sent a golden deer to seduce Rama and Lakshman to go and chase this incredible animal. So you can see how the god consciousness got diverted. And then Ravana, and they drew a magic circle around Sita, and they said, stay in this circle. Remember the Yazidis in that film of Gurdjieff, right? Same kind of an idea. If you stay in this magic circle, you'll be safe. And Ravana saw this, and he dressed up as a Brahmin priest. And, of course, to a Brahmin priest, you're supposed to give alms when they come, and he came begging. And it was Sita just saying, okay, let me just give you a little coin, and I'll push it to the edge of the circle. And then he grabbed her fingernail and yanked her out. And, of course, then he kidnapped her and took her to Sri Lanka and held her for ransom. And then Rama had to then raise an army to free Sita, and the only army he could find was an army of monkeys, led by the monkey god Hanuman. Now, monkeys are well known for having two main interests, sex and food. And if they find rivals for either one, they're very happy to jump into Chakra 3 and get into it. So they're the perfect model of fallen humanity. All except, of course, the bonobo monkeys, who are more noble and at least use sex for a higher purpose in a harmonious way. So maybe Hanuman was a bonobo. I don't know. But in any case, he represents at least a monkey that retained a divine core. And when he was called by God, he overcame his monkey nature to serve a divine purpose. And so this is always understood as Kali Yugi humanity, that we have fallen to the level of monkeys, that all most humans today are interested in is sex and food, and a little violence thrown in when they can get away with it. And that's basically what life has come down to. But it is the moment when humans have become monkeys that Rama then activates us to become an army to again retrieve the soul that has been kidnapped by the devil and bring it back so as to create a new Satyuga, right? So the same story, but put in a very beautiful poetic form. And this is our story, right? If we read this carefully, we will recognize ourselves in nearly all the characters. And it's an important epic, and that's why I think it has retained its power for all the centuries that it has. And so the yogi will call upon Ram when he's feeling too much like a monkey to save him or her, from the clutches of the lower chakra seductions in order to return to God consciousness. And the idea of the chant that Swami Ramdas, for example, servant of Ram, gave, and it was on the heading of every chapter, Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, Jai Sitaram, Jai Jai Hanuman, Sri Guru Ram, Ananda Bhagavan. Beautiful chant. That's one of the ones you should be doing in the sacred singing class. It's a beautiful mantra, and it creates that sense that Rama is here in my heart, and the power, the bliss of Bhagavan is with me, and all is well. The lower chakras have no power. It's a maya-free zone that's created by that mantra. So this is what we must do. We don't need to use an actual mantra, but we do need to rest in Rama, resting in the presence of God with a silent mind rather than a monkey mind that's chattering all the time and looking for either sex, drugs, rock and roll, or something else, some violent hatred of someone to get vengeance against or whatever. But it is that mind that must surrender to Rama if we are to attain liberation. So this is what yoga has been about through the centuries. And it's really a very simple thing, but we have to realize the necessity to surrender to Rama. If we are contented as our monkey self, then we don't gain anything and eventually get trapped in Maya and fall to ever lower levels of degradation. So this is really all that yoga is about, returning to Rama. And in a way, each of us is Sita, the lost soul that must refine the God spirit self and become whole again.